Because Paul, he doesn't say here, rejoice as you take possessions, as you self-medicate with drugs or alcohol, and you pop pills to decrease or numb yourself to the pain. No, he's not saying that. He's saying not to rejoice in food or friends or flattery or anything that fades. He's saying rejoice in the Lord. Christian brother, sister, rejoice always. And again, I will say rejoice in the Lord, because you belong to him. You are in the Lord.
This message is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. December 15th, 2024. Philippians 4, 4-7.
It always seems out of place when you simply tell someone to cheer up, as if by sheer willpower you can conjure up happiness and maybe just mask the pain or the hurt. We know that you can't just cause yourself to be happy simply because someone told you to. You can't command happiness. When the people of Israel were in exile, their captors tormented them and told them to sing a song, and they said, How can we sing while we're here in exile in a foreign land? How could they conjure up songs of joy? We know how that is. Sometimes it's even inappropriate if you want to tell someone who's maybe grieving the loss of a loved one, cheer up, it's Christmas, here, have a cookie, put a smile on. It just doesn't fit. And yet Paul tells us, as we prepare to celebrate Christmas, we see him saying, rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. Regardless of circumstances, always rejoice. Today we consider the word of our God and see how that's possible. A lot of people look for different ways that they might find joy or come to secure happiness in life. The cartoonist Charles Schulz had that series where he said, happiness is. And for example, happiness is, he said, a wet thumb and a warm blanket, or at least if you're an infant. And then for maybe someone a little bit older, he said, happiness is a warm puppy. And he also added, happiness is waking up and looking at the clock and seeing that you still have 2 more hours to sleep in. After I saw that, I wasn't surprised to see that Schulz had 5 children. What's your happiness? What gives you happiness? Do you chase after happiness? Do you seek to purchase happiness, as some might? Is happiness when your sports team has success and you have security in your victory or your well-being? There are a lot of different ways people might try to get happiness. And yes, you can buy happiness, but it doesn't come with a satisfaction guarantee. And its expiration date is often pretty quick. How do we get lasting happiness and happiness in every circumstance? Sadly, we see people searching for joy in places where it cannot be found by abandoning the Lord and his word. A young man who no longer finds satisfaction and fulfillment in his marriage, thinks he's not happy, looks elsewhere and seeks attention from another woman, and it leads to an affair. He doesn't really find joy, but rather a broken heart and home. And unfaithfulness. Even secular psychologists will tell you that this type of attitude and things like pornography won't bring you satisfaction. In fact, they'll bring you depression, an ever longing but never satisfied. How do we get happiness? Chasing after the things in this world, securing it with wealth, won't work. Another humorist depicted another scene where this man who looked apparently wealthy was coming out of a store with a large package and into his limousine. The caption read, his friends told him he couldn't buy it, but Mr. Crawley surmised they didn't know where to look, and the store said, happiness. We know that's not true, because we are robbed of that happiness because of sin. And no matter how much we have, we're never happy. No matter how much we buy, we're never happy. No matter who we secure as friends around us, they can't bring us happiness when sorrow comes. And when pain and loss come, that happiness disappears. The joy is sucked out of us. And really, what's left is loneliness, the feeling that God is not near, anxious thoughts, and a constant pursuit of trying to attain joy and pleasure. But Paul says here, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. He's not talking about a mere Christian, put on a smile, and don't misunderstand, he's not saying step into line like a good soldier and pretend that you're happy despite the fact that you're not. No, Paul is talking about real rejoicing in all circumstances. And don't misunderstand, Christians do face hardship. They do face unanswered love. They do face depression and loneliness. But even as they face these things, they will find that God will bring them joy. And Solomon was right. There's always a time for sorrow and a time for everything. But even amidst sorrow, a Christian might not have pleasure or comfort, but they will have rejoicing in the Lord. Because Paul, he doesn't say here, rejoice as you take possessions, as you self-medicate with drugs or alcohol, and you pop pills to decrease or numb yourself to the pain. No, he's not saying that. He's saying not to rejoice in food or friends or flattery or anything that fades. He's saying rejoice in the Lord. Christian, brother, sister, rejoice always. And again, I will say rejoice in the Lord because you belong to him. You are in the Lord. And in him, it doesn't matter what possessions or treasures you have. You are his treasured own, and he has made you his. You are in the Lord. Rejoice. And as those in the Lord, you can face loss, but you will not have the Lord forsake you. He is near. And you can face in this world many pains and difficulties. You can even lose your vision, but you will stand in the kingdom because you are in the Lord, with bodies restored, sight restored, and you will see God with your own eyes. Rejoice in the Lord. Whatever comes your way, whatever circumstance, I say it again, Paul says, rejoice. This is rejoicing on a far higher plane than what this world can offer or what sheer willpower can attain. But maybe you're thinking, well, that maybe is easy for someone like Paul to say, someone significant and important like Paul. But Paul doesn't say this from some high, comfortable throne. And Paul's not some spoiled aristocrat telling starving peasants to just eat cake. Paul walked the walk. As he writes this, Paul was actually someone who knew the Philippians from a very deep level of suffering. When he first arrived at Philippi, hardly anybody received him. And even then, it wasn't too long after he arrived that the magistrates took him and his companion Silas and had him arrested. He was beaten with rods, it says in Acts 16, severely beaten. The jailer took him and put him and Silas in the deepest prison in the bottom of the dungeon, chained him. And you can imagine how they felt lying there, humiliated with public disgrace, scars and pains that would last for weeks and never fully heal, perhaps, if they survived. And in the darkness, at midnight, the jailer heard them singing Christian hymns, no doubt rejoicing in the Lord. Paul faced much more than that. You might say that there are other difficulties you face besides imprisonment or physical affliction, but Paul faced an illness. He pleaded with God to take it away from him, this chronic affliction and ailment that harmed him so much that he really asked God that he needed it to be taken away so he could do his ministry. But God didn't take it away. But still, he writes, and again, I say rejoice. Paul was pelted to death by stones and left for dead, barely survived. Paul was rejected by mobs. Paul was so often accused wrongly. Paul faced so many things that, again, I say rejoice. His plans failed. He wanted to go to Spain, and he wanted to go through Rome on his way to Spain. And yes, Paul made it to Rome, but he made it as a prisoner. And it's there, as a prisoner in Rome, that he writes to the Philippians. Again, I say rejoice. See, rejoicing doesn't matter and it doesn't depend on circumstance, but in the Lord, we can rejoice always. How do we do that? Well, Paul doesn't give you 10 steps to a better life or 5 ways to be a successful and happy Christian. No, he simply says, rejoice in the Lord. You are in the Lord. through faith in him, and in the sphere of his love, you can always rejoice. And then he lists here some of the things that accompany Christian joy and help support it. He says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Now, how can anything more than harshness rob someone of their joy? Could you imagine a Christian parent that is only upset and harsh with their children whenever they're tired or cranky, and they treat their children harshly? How that household is sucked of its joy. Or rather, a Christian parent who is gentle, and the family is able to thrive and enjoy the peace of God. You know, I talked with a lady that had her father pass away decades earlier, but she really wanted to share with me how he was always, no matter who he interacted with, and no matter what his circumstances, always gentle and never harsh. That made a lasting impression on her that she kept for her life and shared. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Instead of having your anger, your harshness, your fits of rage take away the joy in your own life and the life of others around you, be gentle. For the Lord came in gentleness, didn't he? That we might have our joy secured. He didn't come to judge. No, he first came near to this world in gentleness and lowliness to save it. And in lowliness and gentleness, he took your place, and to secure your inheritance and your happiness and joy for all eternity, he set aside his own interest and in humbleness gave his life on the cross to save, so that you might remain with the joy of forgiveness. That's the love you have in God. Rejoice in the Lord, your gentle Savior. And he comes still near to bring you his word in gentleness. Paul continues to add, he says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. If you are experiencing and expressing Christian joy, and you want to keep that joy, remember this, the Lord is near, and he's near to judge his people. The Lord is near, and maybe when he comes again, something's going to be decreed about your life. Do you want it to be, he won every argument and always got his way? Would you rather have it, his gentleness, her gentleness was evident to all because they rejoiced in the Lord. And God is also near, not only as he came near to save, he comes near to remove our fears. Paul adds to this, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. God not only came near to save, and he will come again near to judge. He's near now to answer prayer, to deliver and save. Don't be anxious. Don't let the world rob you of joy because of all the anxieties of life. Don't let the pains, the fears, the things that come into your life rob you of the joy you have in Christ. Instead, take it to the Lord in prayer. Christian joy remains as God gives us his joy, as God brings us his joy, and as we bring him our prayers, our worries and our fears, and allow him to take care of them. And present these prayers with thanksgiving. Again, I say, rejoice in the Lord. And finally, Paul says, what else accompanies Christian joy? It's really an assurance and a promise. When you recognize that you have rejoicing in the Lord and what Christ has done, how he has come near to save, how his gentleness brings you gentleness, peace, forgiveness. And when you cast your anxieties and all your prayers to him, Paul gives you a promise. God, who gave you that joy, protects and keeps that joy. The God of peace, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Can you picture that? The God of peace and his peace standing there like a guard, so that when something comes along to rob you of your joy, the peace of God says, no, this is one who is in the Lord. Send it upstairs. Don't let it affect him. And the God of peace, when something comes to strike against you and take away the joy and the pleasure out of life, you can say, it doesn't matter, because I have eternal pleasures at God's right hand. The God of peace is like a soldier standing there guarding your heart so that the joy, the rejoicing will not diminish, whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation. You know, when I first started ministry, there was someone who really displayed this kind of joy. He was having difficulty breathing, and he was in a care center. And I'm told that on Christmas Eve, he went throughout all the hallways of that care center, singing Christmas carols, belling them out as loud as he could, despite his difficulties, rejoicing in the Lord. Well, he was found dead on Christmas Day. But you know what? He also was found always rejoicing. And still, at this time, he continues to rejoice with the saints in heaven. Rejoice again. I say rejoice because you share in what he had, the joy of God, that in all circumstances you can sing out and share his joy. The cartoonist Charles Schulz, people say, often depicted Charlie Brown as reflecting his own life because apparently Schulz faced anxiety attacks. He had his wife leave him earlier on in his life. He had lots of loss and health struggles. And near the end of his life, he was dying of cancer and lying in a bed in the hospital. And his wife recalled a conversation with him where he said, "You know, I can control all these characters, and I can depict what goes on in their life, how Charlie Brown has that unanswered love from the red-haired girl and how he can't kick the football and how all of his friends can have everything right. I can control all that. But is it something? You can't control a single thing in your own life." And we know that's true. No matter how much you want to conjure up joy or happiness in your life, you can't, not by your own sheer willpower, but it is yours. And again, I say rejoice in the Lord. In him, you have the peace of God guarding your heart. In him, you can lift up your prayers so that whatever comes, you can send it his way and not be anxious and not have that joy stolen. And in him, you know, he is near. He who came near to save is near to save and deliver and to hear your prayers. And yes, his gentleness is yours. Rejoice in the Lord, because in him we go from worldly worries to joy in Jesus. Amen.